Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, Text 13 to 17. And we'll do text 13 responsibly, and then I'll do the rest. Sachavatina kila sattvatan vaye. Sachavatina kila sattvatan vaye. Svasetu pala mara varya sarmakrit.
Svasetu pala mara
varya sarmakrit. Yasho vitan van vraja asta ishvaro.
Yasho vitan van vraja asta ishvaro.
Kayanti devayad ashesha mangalam.
Kayanti devayad ashesha mangalam.
Sachavatirna kila sattvatan vaye.
Sachavatirna kila sattvatan vaye.
Svasetu palamara varya sarmakrit.
Svasetu palamara varya sarmakrit.
Yasho vitavan vraja astastishvaro.
Yasho vitavan vraja
Kayanti deva yad ashesha mangalam.
Kayanti deva yad ashesha mangalam.
Sachava kirna kya sattvatam vaye.
Sachava kirna kya sattvatam vaye.
Svasetu palamra varya sarmakrit.
Svasetu palamra.
Yasho
vitan van praja asta
word for word, sa,
sa,
I,
I,
cha,
cha,
and, avatirna,
having descended,
kila,
indeed,
sattvata, of the sattvatas, anvaye,
in the dynasty,
swa, his own,
setu,
codes of religion, pala,
to maintain,
amaravarya, of the chief
demigods,
sharma,
delight,
krit,
creating,
yasha,
his fame,
vitanvan,
spreading,
vraje,
and
vraja,
aste,
his present,
Ishvara,
the Supreme Lord,
Gayanti,
sing,
Devaha,
the demigods,
Yat,
of which fame,
Ashesha Mangalam,
all auspicious.
Translation.
That same Supreme Lord has descended into the dynasty of the Satvatas to delight the exalted demigods who maintain the principles of religion he has created. Residing in Vrindavan, he spreads his fame, which demigods glorify in song, and which brings auspiciousness to all. So I'll do the rest, 14, 15, 16, 17. Tantva adhyanunam mahatam gotim gurum trilokya kantam trishman mahotsavam rupam dadanam shriya upistastadam rakshe mamasam kusasudarshana.
Translation.
Today I shall certainly see him, the golden spiritual master of the great souls. Seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes, for he is the true beauty of the universe. Indeed, his personal form is the shelter desired by the goddess of fortune. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious.
Atavaruda sapadishayuraha pradana pumso shkanam salagaye Yadritam yogi bhirati aham guham namasya abhyam cha sakim pamakash.
Then I will at once alight from my chariot and bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personalities of Godhead. Theirs are the same feet that great mystic yogis, striving for self-realization, bear within their minds. I would also offer my obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boyfriends and to all the other residents of Vrindavan.
16. Ap angri mune papitasya medibu shiras adarshan nija hasta pankajam databayam kala bujam galam hasa prabeshitanam sharanayishinam
rinam. And when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord would place his lotus hands upon my head. For those who seek shelter in him, because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear.
17. Samarhanam yatra nidaya kaushika tata bhushta parayatrayana yadavihare vajra yushita sparsha.
By offering charity to that lotus hand, Purandara and Bali earned the status of Indra, King of Heaven. And during the pleasure pastimes of the Rasa dance, when the Lord wiped away the gopis' perspiration and removed their fatigue, the touch of their faces made that hand as fragrant as a sweet flower.
Purport.
The Puranas call the lotus found in the Manasa Sarovar Lake Ashaugandika. Lord Krishna's lotus hand acquire the fragrance of this flower by coming in contact with the beautiful faces of the gopis. This specific incident, which occurred during the Rasa Leela, is described in the 33rd chapter of the 10th canto. Om Gyan Terman Sagan and Jana Shalaka Sakshun Tamyinatasma Shigurubinamaha. Namah Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutle Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Samantamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauraman Pushani Nivishesha Shinivari Pakti Sastrava Shishani. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nipadinda Shri Desaira Daya Shri Vasti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these verses are packed with philosophical points. The first verse here, he states, that same Supreme Lord has descended into the dynasty of the Satpatas to delight the exhausted demigods. Let us look at that first part of the sentence. He has descended into the dynasty of the Satpatas. That could be taken connotatively or literally. Literally. Connotatively, which is figuratively. Or denotatively, which is literally. Srila Prabhupada in the first canto states that the Supreme Absolute Truth is called Sat. And those who serve him are called Satvatas. So in this way, in a figurative way, we can see that all those devotees that were serving the Lord were called Satvatas. You had the Yadavas, the Madhavas, the Vrishnis, the Pandavas, the Kauras, the Bhojas, all of these. They had association with the Lord and they were connected with him and served him in so many different ways. But literally there was a dynasty called the Satvatas also, which the Yadavas came from. It stated from there was Maharaj Satvata. Then you had Vrishni, Shini, Satyaki, and Yuyudhana. And these are the Yadavas. And they were the close associates of the Lord. The Yadavas were the closest of all the other dynasties, of the Pandavas, Kauravas, Bhojas, and so forth. See? So that first thing. And then it stated that so he descended to delight the exalted demigods who maintain the principles of religion he has created. Within the Bhagavad Gita, it stated that there are two beings. They are the demons and the devotees, or the divine and the demonic. I think I had a verse quoted for that here, yes. Dwa Bhuta Sargan Lokesmi Daivi Asura Evacha. In this world there are two kinds of created beings. One is called the divine and the other the demoniac. So the demigod falls within the divine category. Even though sometimes, especially Indra may act differently. But the demigods, generally, they are considered to be the divine beings. And they uphold the principles of religion established by the Supreme Lord. And it is because of the welfare of the demigods the Lord actually descended. Because the demons had taken birth in the human dynasty. And they were creating havoc. So Bhum Devi, she took the form of a cow and went to the demigods. And they went to Lord Brahma and so forth. They went to the Lord to request the Lord to come to mitigate the oppression of the earth. See, so there we can say that by ascending he or descending he came to delight the demigods. Residing in Vrindavan, he spreads his fame, which the demigods glorify in song, and which brings auspiciousness to all. So Vrindavan is his embassy. See, like each country, like for example, America has embassies in so many countries of the world. And if you go to these embassies, it has, you know, American news, American stuff going on there. For example, I remember like in Guyana once, the government had banned all foreign items. See, all foreign items, because they were trying to become a socialist state. So you grow local, buy local, and eat local, you see. But in the American embassy, they had American stuff there. Because I had a friend that used to work there, and she would bring, you know, foreign stuff, you see. But otherwise, all the people in Guyana, they just had to buy and eat local stuff. See, that was it. So in a similar way, Krishna has imported the spiritual world into this material world, and that's Vrindavan. See? And within there, his pure devotees are roaming. See? And it's that Vrindavan is special. It's like the spiritual world. I had a little notes about some of the residents of Vrindavan, the Vishnis. Yeah, the Yadavas. The state of the Yadavas, they're adorned with the Parjata garlands. They're singing and dancing and speaking about Vaikuntha. Their bodies are brilliant like the sun, but yet it's cool like the moon. They're bedecked with precious ornaments. And though some of them are old, like Ugrasena, for example, they look very young. And he, Lord Krishna, is the sweet comrade and embodiment of mercy to them. So so the Lord in Vrindavan, he spreads his fame from there throughout the world, even throughout the universe. And so the demigods also sing it in songs through the Gandharvas and the Apsaras, dances, so forth. It's also stated that from the Himavat to the Vindhya, that land is Aryavarsha. And the Lord descended, or most of his great incarnations, they descend within that realm. Ramachandra, Krishna, and other incarnations. And Vrindavan fall within that category. The other verse says, today I shall see him, the goal and spiritual master of great souls. So he's speaking in the future tense. I shall see him. Tenses by itself is a complicated subject matter. See, but he is the spiritual master of great souls. Kunti Devi says that yata paramahamsanam, tata paramahamsanam, and there are some other parts, but I'll just something. He says, you've descended to teach this science of bhakti yoga to the paramahamsas. You've decided to teach the science of bhakti yoga to the paramahamsas. How can we, ordinary women, understand this science? See, he was asking the Lord. He was praying to the Lord. And then we know that of course, Arjuna says, Shishyashte ham sadi mam tvam prapanam. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. See? So says, today I shall see him, the goal and spiritual master of the great souls. Seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes, for he is the true beauty of the universe. Indeed, his personal form is the shelter desired by the goddess of fortune. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. So the gopis were complaining that the creator has made eyes to wink. You see, and that winking is taken away from them. That moment when the eye winks, it's robbing them of seeing the beauty of the Lord. So imagine the great beauty of the Lord that the devotees, the exalted devotees, they're so absorbed in that if a moment, less than a moment there, a wink is a fraction of a moment. You see, and yet they're complaining to the Creator, to Brahma. Why have you made us to wink? You see, you should be seeing the Lord all the time. So you could imagine the beauty of the Supreme, you know. Then it says, Then I will at once alight from my chariot and bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the same feet that great mystic yogis striving for self-realization bear within their minds. I would also offer my obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boyfriends and to all the other residents of Vrindavan. So the Lord says, Man mana bahu ma bhakto ma vyaji nam namasku. Always think about me, become my devotee, offer your obeisances unto me. And so Akrura here, he's doing all these things. He's thinking about the Lord. See, he's thinking about the Lord, and he's planning to offer obeisances to the Lord. See? So this is the position of the great exalted devotees. They're always thinking of worshiping the Lord. See, and then the other part he says here, and when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord would place his lotus hand upon my head. For those who seek shelter in him, because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear. So we seek shelter of the Lord because we are disturbed by the serpent of time, Kala Sarpa, the serpent of time. When Vidura was trying to enlighten Dhritarashtra, he gave an allegory here. And he says, allegory. Yeah. He says that once in the forest there was a Brahmana, and he was walking in the forest, and suddenly he was chased by some wild animals. And then when he turned the other way, he saw an old witch also running after him, and he started to run. And as he ran, he fell into a deep well. And he grabbed on some creepers there. But as he looked down, he saw a huge poisonous snake ready to grab him. And when he looked up, the creepers that he was holding on to were being nibbled by rats, black and white rats. And then on the other side of the well, there was a colossal elephant, a huge elephant, with 6 heads and 12 legs. And then, amidst that, hanging over the well was a tree, and there was some honey dripping. And then in this precarious position, he was trying to get the honey. He was hanging on this vine. This vine was nibbled by black and white rats. And at the bottom, there was a huge snake ready to grab him there. And he's trying to get the honey. So he says, Vidura says, this is our position in the material world. He says the deep well is this world. And he says that The elephant with the six heads are the six seasons, and the 12 legs represent the 12 months. He said the black and white rat represents day and night. See? And he says that snake at the bottom is Kala Sarpa. Time, the serpent of time, waiting to grab all of us. See? But amidst all of that, the living entity is still thinking he can enjoy. And he's trying to grab that little honeydew that's coming. See? So that is our position here. So this is what Akura is saying here. For those who seek shelter in him because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear. See? Then Yudhisthira was also talking about the same thing. He said this material world is like a huge frying pan. See? Like a huge frying pan. The living entities are like the fish. And the fire, the sun is the fire. And the spoon is, the stirring ladder is day and night. And time is the chief cook. And time is cooking all of us. See? So this world is like a huge frying pan. And the living entities are like the fish. See? And time is the chief cook, frying us gradually, you see, day by day, everyone is being taken. What the Lord says? Kalas mi loka kashaya krit pravrido. Time I am the great destroyer of the world. See? And then it says again, as the wheel of time turns, so mortal revolves. One time in hell, another time in heaven, another time on earth. Held strongly by the noose of karma. Karma grabs us by the neck. We cannot escape it. Sometimes he sends us in hell. Sometimes he sends us in heaven. Sometimes we are on earth. Always in the perpetual cycle. Perpetual cycle. See? And then it's stated, time wears away everything. Or you could say time eats away everything unnoticed. Just like an unbaked pot placed in water disappears imperceptibly. See? So time is taking away everything little by little. Then he says here, by offering charity to the lotus hand, Purandara and Bali earn the status of Indra, king of heaven. So let me look at that part. Purandara is the present Indra. And maybe by giving great charities and so forth, he got that position. And Bali will become the next Indra. In the next Manvantara, Bali Maharaj will become the next Indra. So that's why he's saying here. See? And what Bali gave? Bali surrendered everything to the Lord. So then he becomes Indra. And then the other part says here, during the pleasure pastimes of the Rasa dance, when the Lord wiped away the gopis' perspiration and removed their fatigue, the touch of their faces made at hand as fragrant as a sweet flower. So we can interpret this in two ways. One is that the exalted devotees emanate fragrance from their body. We can see it this way. It's stated, for example, the demigods, fragrance are coming out of their body. Their sweat and everything smells sweetly. So with the gopis, we can interpret it this way. By the hand touching the face of the gopis, it becomes fragrant. Or you could say also, the fragrant from the body of the gopis sweeten the Lord's arm. And here the purport is given that it's compared to the Shaugandika flower, the lotus in Manasa Sarovara Lake. And it is stated, more of this is discussed in the 33rd chapter of the 10th canto. Let me see what is stated there briefly. This is in the chapter 33, the Rasa Dance, chapter summary. Even after Lord Krishna manifested himself in numerous forms, each gopi thought he was standing next to her alone. Gradually the gopis became fatigued from the continuous dancing and singing, and each of them placed their arm on the shoulder of Krishna, standing beside her. Some gopis smelled and kissed Krishna's arm, which bore the fragrance of the lotus and was anointed with sandalwood paste. Others put Krishna's hand on their bodies, and yet others gave Krishna pleasure by embracing him lovingly. That's interesting. So that's the part they refer to. So these verses, they are so packed with very essential philosophical points. But I want to go back to the sattvatas, or the pure devotees of the Lord. It's interesting. When Maharaj Parikshit was about to leave this world, his mother Uttara says, my son, you're leaving and you've heard the Bhagavatam, but can you give me the cream of the Bhagavatam, the essence of the Bhagavatam? And maybe Parikshit probably had just a short time. I don't want to speculate, but very, very short time. Because he had heard the whole Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami, and now he was about to leave. But Uttara is asking him to give him the cream of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is considered the cream of the Vedas, but now he's given Uttara the cream of the Bhagavatam. And he said there, and this is Sanatana Goswami is writing in his the Bhagavatamritam, Sriman Bhagavatamritam. For a moment I used to wonder that Sanatana Goswami got so much association of Lord Chaitanya, because I never read any book by him. So I was wondering, I said, you know, for a moment it just went through my head, I just thought, he got such association for Lord Chaitanya. But what he did, and I was wondering for a little while. But when I read the Srimad Bhagavatamritam, I was bewildered. You couldn't believe. That is such a glorious book. In fact, every one of you should try to get to it. So he stated there that Parikshit explained to his mom Uttara, he says that once in Prayag there were some sages assembled there, and they were discussing about different devotees who's got the mercy of the Lord and so forth. And then suddenly a brahmana came there and with his entourage, and he cooked some nice food and offered it to the deity of Lord Krishna, and he gave it to the assembly sages. And Narad was there, and Narad went up to the brahmana and says, hey brahmana, you seems to be the great beneficiary of the mercy of Krishna. And the brahmana says, I'm just a simple brahmana with a little wealth. But if you go to South India, there is a great king there. He is a recipient of the Lord's mercy. He says he's a true recipient of the Lord's mercy. So Narada immediately went to South India. And the king says, Narada, I'm just a mortal. My lifespan is short. My wealth is limited and so forth. But the devatas are the great beneficiary of the Lord's mercy. You go to them. So Narada immediately went to Indralok. He has that power. He went to Indralok and he spoke to the devatas, especially Indra. He said, Indra, you live in so long, your lifespan is so long, you have so much wealth, so much different things. Glorifying Indra. Indra says, what are you saying? What are you saying, Narad? You say, I live just for one day, one lifetime of Manu. But one day of Brahma is 14 Manus. See, Brahma lived for such a long time. And he's the secondary creator, and he gets the mercy of the Lord. For me, due to my puffed upness, I commit so much offense against the Lord. I inundate Vrindavan with rain, and I fought with him when he came for the Parijata flower, so many different things. I'm not the receptor of his mercy, but Brahma is. So Narada left and went to Brahmaloka. And then he started to glorify Brahma. Oh, Brahma, you're so glorious, such a wonderful planet, so forth. You live such a long time. And Brahma started to lament. He said, what you say, Narada? What are you saying? He said, even though all these things happen indeed to me, but still I'm fearful of time. I still have to die. After over three trillion years, I would die. And also I get puffed up sometimes and I commit offense to the Lord. I went to Vrindavan and stole the calves and so forth. I give boons to demons and they commit so much atrocious activities. I'm not a recipient. Lord Shiva is the true recipient of the Lord. Then Narada immediately left Brahmaloka and he went to Kailash. And there he met Lord Shiva. He spoke to Lord Shiva. He says, Shiva, you're so powerful. You're always meditating upon the Lord. You're detached. You don't care for houses and so forth. You're always thinking about the Lord. At the time of devastation, you destroy the whole universe. So the Lord Shiva says, all these are true, Narada, certainly. But still I'm not the best beneficent of the Lord's mercy. He says, Prahlad Maharaj, if you go there, go to Prahlad Maharaj, you'd see. So then immediately Narada left Kailash and went to Sutala Loka, where Prahlad Maharaj is residing there. And he started to glorify Prahlad Maharaj. And of course, Prahlad Maharaj, a pure devotee, he did not want to hear the glorification. But he says, Narada, what do you say? He says, when the Lord descended as Narsingha Dev, all he did was just pat me in the head a little while, and then he gave me the kingdom. But what can you say of mercy? I forgot that patting of the head a long time ago. And what are you speaking about wealth? He says, when the Lord really wants to show mercy on his devotee, he takes away all the wealth. He doesn't give them wealth. He gave me all the wealth. So what mercy is that? What are you talking about? And then, so they spoke for a while, and then he says, but you know who is a real recipient of the Lord's mercy? Hanuman. So you go to Hanuman. So Narada left Sutala Lok, and he went to Kimpurusha. It said Kimpurusha Loka, but I think it's Kimpurusha Varsha, because when they were speaking, Hanuman says, he left me in order. So he glorified Hanuman again. When Hanuman saw Narada, Hanuman started to dance. So he was so happy, you know, seeing the pure devotee of the Lord. But when Narada started to glorify Hanuman, Hanuman didn't want to hear. And he said, Narada, what you were saying? He says, if I am the recipient of the Lord's mercy, why would he leave me here on earth? He took all the residents of Ayodhya back to the spiritual world, and he left me here forever. What is that? See? Now I am deprived of the Lord, and Hanuman started to cry and roll on the ground and so forth. See? And then he said, but Narada, if you go to Hastinapur, there the Pandavas are, and they're the recipients of the Lord's mercy. So Narada wanted to take Hanuman, but then Hanuman says, I'm a mere monkey, I would not know how to behave properly. But if you go to Hastinapur, you'd meet the Pandavas there. So Hanuman went to Hastinapur, and there he met the Pandavas. And the Pandavas received him nicely, and they were so happy to meet him. But then when he started to glorify them, they didn't want to hear. And Yudhishthir said, he said, Narada, when common men would look at our sad plight,
they may lead to mistrust the path of devotion to Krishna. If these men, through their improper reading of our lives, should lose their faith in Him, then it would pierce our hearts. He says, I did the Rajasuya just to let people know the destinies of those who worship Him. And Yudhisthira, he was so taken back by that. He says, but we're not the true recipients. And then he spoke to Arjuna, Bhima, Kunti, Draupadi, and all of them gave the same kind of thoughts. But he says, the real recipients of the Lord mercy are the Yadavas. The Yadavas. You go to the Yadavas. And then Narad left and he went to the Yadavas. And then like I said, when he went there, he saw the Yadavas, they were bedecked with the Parijata garlands. See, and they were singing and dancing and glorifying pastimes of the Lord. Their bodies were brilliant like the sun, but very cool, like the moon. And they were bedecked by precious ornaments. And he spoke to them. He told them that you are so fortunate that you have the mercy of the Lord. You're the true recipients of the Lord's mercy. But then, of course, the Yadavas would say that, no, we are not. That the Uddhava is. And then, of course, Uddhava would say the gopis are. See? But I just brought this part up to the Yadavas because here in this verse it's stated that the Satvatas, the Lord descended in the dynasty of the Satvatas. And, of course, especially the Yadavas are considered the Satvatas. See? And they, of course, they are great receptors of the Lord's mercy. And so, we can say that that the Yadavas coming into their dynasty, the Yadavas, the Madhavas, the Bhojas, the Pandavas, the Kauravas. I mean, of course, some of the Kauravas, they were demons really, but at least Bhishmadev was there, and he's a pure devotee of the Lord. See? So all of these got, they were great receptors of the Lord's mercy. See? So, so I'll stop here. There's more nice pastimes to hear from Akrura. But if there's any comment or question. Yes, Mataji?
Hare Krishna, appreciate your very extensive class. Appreciate very much. So I'm wondering, and I'm so ignorant actually, but I'm just wondering, so Mother Bhumi, and I'm trying to remember why I'm asking, but I think Mother Bhumi was mentioned in this verse, but I'm wondering, so she came as in the form of a cow to increase the Lord's compassion on her, if I understand correctly. So I'm wondering, what is her original form, if you know, and or anyone else does. And
Mother Bhumi, her original form. Well, she's the earth, but she has a personified form, as like a demigod or a demigoddess. So that would be her original form, you know. And it's stated that even though, I mean, she's art, you know, she's art, but also she has a demigoddess form, see, like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but let me see where, I might have missed that part about, he spread his fame in song of demigods. Yeah, it might have been here, but I kind of missed it really.
Oh.
Yeah, but any other points you want to make?
No, and I'm just sort of wondering, so coming in that form, in that demigod form, she couldn't beg the mercy of the Lord? So.
What's the question? Coming in a demigod form?
Oh, no, I'm saying, so she couldn't, so she felt as a cow she would be much more, the Lord would give much more mercy.
Oh, when she took the form of a cow?
Yeah.
Well, what can I say about that, really? I haven't read much about why she took the form of a cow, but at least she... we know the cow in this age would be very much oppressed and slaughtered and killed in this Kali Yuga, really. And she, remember when Parikshit met Dharma in the form of a bull and Mother Ort in the form of a cow, and Dharma had lost his three legs, one leg has left, that was truthfulness. And they were conversing with one another, really, like that. Yeah, I guess, you know, I mean, I don't want to speculate on that. I don't know if Pushkar wanted to throw some light on that, why she took the form of a cow. Stilidhi would throw a little light on that.
I mean, we hear, like, they change forms. It sounds like it's a big deal, right? You know, but it's, they apparently, they can just, you know, it's like getting clothes off the clothes rack at Walmart. You know, they can just change. They have that capacity on that realm of existence to change external form. Could she have gotten the mercy of the Lord in her form as a demigod? Sure, but she wanted to make a point, like you said, yeah, about the importance of cow protection in Kali Yuga.
Of course, yeah. These devatas, they could change form at will, different forms, you know, take on any form also. And not only the devatas, even some of the great devatas, even Hanuman, for example. Hanuman could have too. He had so much mystic cities. The eight mystic cities he perfected. He could make himself small, huge, so many things, appear, disappear, and so forth. Any other point? Okay, Srimad, yeah, Keshava Prabhu.
I haven't actually heard of any place where Srila Prabhupada mentioned the personality of the earth, Dharti Mata, as some people say. But definitely there is a personality, just like Indra is responsible for the heavenly planets, and Lord Brahma creates, and Lord Shiva destroys, and so forth. But in the connection with the...
He was trying to punish the earth. She took the cow, form of a cow to get, try to, you know, say, yeah, you can.
Right. But it's true that taking the form of the cow, Bhumi taking the form of the cow, was for getting the mercy of the Lord. Because the Lord would be very merciful, is very close, and has a very good feeling towards the cow.
Yeah, interesting. Just the point that you made about that when she asks about what's the original form, Mother Earth is a goddess. I mean, apart being the earth, but has personified form. Just like the Ganga, the Ganges there, but it has the personal form of a goddess also, and all these rivers and stuff. And it's stated that these goddesses are in Brahmalok, usually. See, they're in Brahmalok. They are serving Lord Brahma or whatever. Yeah. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.